As always, when I'm privileged to proclaim that gospel and to offer homily reflections, I want to repeat again, draw attention in whatever measure necessary to the immediacy of that gospel passage. It puts this moment of the coming of Jesus into a very literal, immediate, identifiable, historic context. Its parallel in our world today would list who are the members of the county board, who's president of the United States, and name specific people so that there would never be a doubt again that at a moment in history, not just in the minds and the dreams of people, but at a real moment in history, flesh and blood reality, God came in the person of Jesus. Just to try to grasp that a little more deeply, a little more fully, would be challenge enough. But today, as the scriptures are read and certain events converge, I might say my theme is more one of taking note of a parade of prophets who, in a certain sense, seem to walk before us this morning and pause each in his or her own way to challenge us to understand and somehow respond. Among them, in the scripture itself, such a familiar prophetic person, Isaiah, the prophet who from of old called out to those who would be with God and of God, saying, well then, level the mountains of human cruelty and selfishness and all the sinfulness of God's people. Level those mountains, and where your sins are sins of omission, you didn't care enough, or you ran and hid in the moment of challenge, fill up those empty spaces so that there will be one smooth avenue for the coming of God among the people. But when Isaiah proclaimed, and when Isaiah issued this challenge, even Isaiah himself rightly wondered, when will this coming be? Will I live to see it? And I'm sure in his latter and last days, he realized the promise he had made was yet to be kept. John the Baptist, this second larger-than-life prophet in today's liturgy, how exciting it must have been when, in his moment of doubt, he sent his friends to ask, are you, in fact, he, the one of whom Isaiah spoke, the one for whom I've been trying again to get the people ready, are you he? And the answer came back in terms not merely of words, but of deeds done in love and service. How exciting for John, even as he faced martyrdom, to know the moment had come. And if John was excited to know it's about to happen, how eagerly, how determinedly we should renew and stir up again our excitement to know it has already happened. It is our reality. He is here in our midst, in our flesh, in our lives, in our hopes, in our dark nights as well as our brightest mornings. He is here. The challenge is no more to try to believe in something that will come, but to get more fully and deeply into the reality of what has already happened and what is now forever. God immersed in God's people free to soar to the heights of God's own life. How excited we should be. How willing, if we believe this, to risk something of ourselves, to take chances. We get a very powerful model for us. Called again by Isaiah and John the Baptist, this year, you might say, by happy coincidence, the feast of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this Advent Sunday are merged together. And we see her again, at least as I like to picture her, standing there in her confrontational pose to all the world, saying from now on, in me and because of me and because of my yes, to let God come and become intimate with us in and because of me. The world will never be the same. From here on, the big shots will be put down and the little people will be lifted up to know, to taste, to feel, to experience their own dignity and their priceless worth in the eyes of God. And to this parade now, Isaiah and John and Mary, we consciously and intentionally challenge ourselves to let the martyrs of El Salvador, real flesh and blood people, some of them of our own nationhood, people who have been to the same places we've been, who've dreamed the same dreams we do, we invite the Salvadoran martyrs to parade again before us, to confront us, to make us wonder how well and how deeply we receive and then hand on this gospel, this challenge to level the mountains and fill up the valleys. It has to be sobering and in a very, very deep sense sad to note, as we do, how the anniversaries keep passing. More than 10 years now for Romero and those four beautiful American churchwomen, destroyed literally by their own sisters and brothers because they themselves, having heard Isaiah, having understood John the Baptist, and knowing that if they would be sisters and brothers of Jesus, then they must as well be children of Mary and follow her example, for having done this, they were put to death. And more recently, this more recent anniversary we celebrate of six Jesuit priests who were put to death without ever having so much as hinted that they would lay a hand on a weapon of violence, whose unforgivable sin in the face of corrupt, unjust systems, and we must remember a system in particular here, fueled and fed and supported by American money, by American assent, and probably in largest measure by American silence. The sin that they committed was to dare to enter into classrooms and to stand at lecture platforms and say, those peasant, pitiful, nobody people are precious and priceless in the eyes of God. They have rights at once equal to the rights of all the prestigious and powerful. And that was too dangerous a message for those who held control and would choke out willingly the life of the little people, that they might have yet more space and luxury themselves. For having called the little people to look at themselves and reality and say, I am priceless in God's eyes, and I therefore will demand justice and truth, for having sounded so dangerous a prophecy, for having echoed that message of the prophets from of old, they were assassinated, and brutally so. And those two women, mother and daughter, whose sin was to dare to continue to work with and offer their loving service to these controversial priests, their sin was their courage. Though they may not have been the eloquent spokespersons, they were willing to risk being identified with these controversial priests, to be in and of their company, and they too were as mercilessly slain. Our parade of prophets today is a parade of people, you might say, badly scarred, dripping with blood, and at last slaughtered for having heard Isaiah, for having tried to follow the example of Mary, for having been willing to be a Baptist in our own time. But this week, I see the parade enlarged. All of these characters, especially the scriptural, biblical ones, have walked before us time and time again, and I would like to believe each time they make us a bit more restless in our comforts, a bit more willing to be ill at ease for the sake of others. But to this parade of prophets, I say this week, some new names can be added, some new, very real flesh and blood people should be invited to join our procession today, calling God's people to their own role of prophecy in our time. For me, among them is a woman of deep determination and an unstoppable mouth. And of course, I speak of Peggy Say, who would not rest, who would not be persuaded by others that there might be a more discreet and politic way to do this. One reality became all-encompassing for her. My brother has been unjustly detained, is being cruelly captivated by others, and I will not be silent. If we allow this prophetic woman to speak to us today, I'd like to say in advance the first hints may be only that. And in time, we may see even learned statements made to show how, given the complexity of the political realities, poor Peggy made some inappropriate choices. Maybe in time, we'll all be persuaded, had we left it to the politicians, to the people who do their dealing in back rooms, maybe the hostages would have been home sooner. And do you know something? I don't mind if someday that seems to be proven. She will still be her name in capital letters at the top of my list. Because I remind you again, the duty of the prophet is not to always be right. The vocation of the prophet is to be always sincere and courageous. To give witness as God gives you light, to see and understand that witness, and let the devil take the hindmost. Those who would be prophets who need to know ahead of time they've come up with the best answer will be prophets in waiting when it's all over. We have to have the courage, the willingness to sometimes be technically wrong, as long as we are never willing to betray our own conscience, to somehow capitulate with those who call for practicality and compromise. Well, if I would, so to speak, anoint Peggy Say prophet this morning, how could we leave out her brother Terry? And as much as we try and must try to be a truly ecumenical community, would we not all confess that a few days ago we felt a special surge of pride when Terry Anderson said, "I'm a Christian and I'm a Catholic. And I cannot hate, I must forgive." His endurance, his personal courage, his resiliency, all of these gifts that this man seems to have had, gifts shared by some of the other hostages, but somehow or other put in larger lights or letters in him. Perhaps his most powerful message was to come through this passage of darkness, having been victim of madness and human cruelty, perhaps in its worst possible kind of construction, and then to say to the world, "I cannot hate, I must forgive." There's a prophet. And some who touched me this week, I didn't take the time or trouble to write down their names, but there were a number of prophetic fellows who, in our rehashing and rehearsing and remembering of Pearl Harbor, proudly wearing their veterans' caps, and in some cases their medals, and telling with great poignancy and deep personal passion of the terrible events of December 7th then were not finished telling their story till they let us see them, tears running down their faces, embrace those who were once their enemies. There is a prophetic message. It goes so clearly against the grain of what we would feel and how we would have things done. Well, praise God that we do not rely only and forever on Isaiah or John the Baptist. God be praised that each year, as the figure of Mary confronting evil and speaking with courage that Jesus might be real, that there are always new people in their company. People of our time and our moment, as surely as John the Baptist was a man of his time and his moment. May God be praised for all those who have acted and spoken with a prophetic power and touched the nation, and we might hope and pray, perhaps even touch the world. But, sisters and brothers, we cannot simply sit and watch the procession go by. We cannot be like so many spectators along the street applauding them as they make a spectacle of themselves in times and circumstances where their witness and their proclamations might be laughed at as irrelevant and, worse, jeered as threatening and unwelcome. We, my sisters and brothers, fellow baptized, fellow anointed, sister and brother, prophet, priests, I tell you today, we must be part of the procession. We must join their company. The way we live, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we speak. We must let the voice of the prophets be heard anew in fresh ways in a world that is so awfully, awfully cruel. Already in this parish, I praise God and I thank God's people here. We have some who have taken this challenge very seriously. This very day, by their own initiative, some parishioners will be waiting next door asking you to join them in putting your name to it, to call out again for a truly just and loving policy translated into deeds in regard to the tragic events in Haiti, to stand up for the Haitian refugees, and refugees they are. We have parishioners who have been willing to take time to work hard to let food be more available to the hungry. We have members of this community who have spoken out and taken action on a whole range of issues, mind-boggling though it sometimes is, sorting them out and finding where your voice and your presence can be most effective. But my fellow prophets, oh, priestly people, the task is only just begun when, in fact, all the people have taken up the prophetic ministry. Our words, tested and proven by our deeds, must become so great a voice that our prophetic witness will, you might say, be echoing off those obstruction mountains that need to be leveled. Our lives, our deeds, our convictions must be reaching down into the pits of human indifference and filling them up with love and courage. If you would respond, then the answer, the consequence, is proclaimed in the words of this day's gospel. If today you hear God's voice calling you to take up the ministry of Isaiah and John and Mary, Oscar Romero, Eda Ford, all of those, Peggy Say, Terry Anderson, all those who have by their lives proclaimed the message of love and courage, willingness to suffer without being reduced to bitterness and vindictiveness, if you would be of those prophetic people, if you will be a prophet true to yourself and to Jesus, then the words of today's gospel are your consolation, your encouragement. For sure. For sure. When the mountains have been leveled, the valleys have been filled, for sure and for certain, all humankind will see the glory of our God.